The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
The Oxford Dictionary defines the word fellowship as shining, friendship, sharing, solidarity, companionship, or a body of associates. So what about the biblical terms? What about the Bible in defining the word fellowship? The word for fellowship comes from the Greek word koinonia, which could be used, and it does appear in various ways and various usages. For example, it could be used in reference to marriage. It could be used in references in Scripture to business partnership, or it could be used in reference to friendships. Or it could be a generous sharing or giving. All of those things are associated with in the Bible with the word and the term fellowship. Looking at synonyms for a word like fellowship, synonyms means words that mean the same as another word. In other words, just another usage for it, which would be a better way of saying it, another word that could be used in the place of. I find always interesting, but the reason is because what it does, it gives us, I believe, a broader basis for the word usage in our language today. A few of the synonyms for the word fellowship are brotherhood, communion, familiarity, intimacy, interaction, kindness, solidarity. I know I'm giving them really fast, but you can look them up. And there are others. Now, with all of this that we've stated so far in mind, I'd like you to go with me to the book of 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Here in 1 John, we see that the Apostle John has a concern. Maybe, perhaps, we would even use the word has a little anxiety over our meaning the Church of God, having fellowship with the Father and the Son. I share that same concern and anxiety with the Church of God today as well. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare or we announce, we proclaim to you, that you also may have fellowship, that you may have brotherhood, communion, familiarity, intimacy, interaction, kindness, solidarity, and other things with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, listen to this phrase, that your joy may be full. So in other words, right off the bat, we see something really important about fellowship. Our joy is connected to fellowship. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, that's not coming up again in the rest of the sermon, but it's an important point for us to recognize, and so we could jump off of that perhaps at another time. But what we do here see is that John began by highlighting the basis upon which we may have fellowship with the Father. And we see that in the following verses. Let's continue on in verse 5. This is still 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him. The Him here is referring to the Father. We'll see that very quickly. And declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So we see this is very clearly referring to fellowship with the Father. And this is the basis of which John is talking about here. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He, the Father, God, is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make God, the Father, a liar, and His word is not in us. Now let's go to chapter 2. We're still in 1 John chapter 2. Verse 1, my little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. We'll come back to these phrases a little bit. Verse 4. He that says, I know him and keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, whereby know we that we are in him. He that says he abides in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Do you see that there is a difference here? This is now referring to Jesus Christ. A lot of these he's that we would capitalize, so we'd recognize who the he's are. It's either the Father or the Son. And what he's talking about now, this is talking about Jesus Christ. Let's go on. Verse 10, he that loves his brother abides in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hates his brother is in darkness. This is verse 11. And walks in darkness and knows not whither he goes, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. Verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17. And the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. Now drop down to verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Now, from these verses that we've read, 1 John chapter verses in 1 and in verse 2 here, we can see that John has given us some instructions, or maybe we can even use the word he's giving us some lessons that we need to learn. The first one is we are to walk in the light as he is in the light, and that reference that where it says that is the Father. We walk in the light as God the Father is in the light. The second lesson we learn is that we are not to deny our sins, but rather we are to confess our sins. And then a third lesson that we see here is we are to make use of our advocate and propitiation, who is Jesus Christ the righteous. We're to take advantage of the fact that who he is and what he does in our lives. So we've been seeing some information, some facts, verses dealing with fellowshipping with the Father. But what about fellowship with the Son? Because they tie together. We can see they're jumping around. It seems what tied together there. But I'd like to make it a little bit clear. In 1 John, still in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, John describes for us how we can know that we have fellowship with Jesus Christ. I want to reread these verses. Yes, we've already read them, but I want to read these verses again. Verse 3, and hereby we do know, or by this we know, that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that says, I know him, and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not him, but whoso keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we, or by this we know, it's another phrase which is probably better, that we are in him. He that says he abides in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. These verses are describing fellowship with the Son. A key phrase in this passage is this phrase, by this we know. It's found twice. It's found in verse 3, and it's found again in verse 5. In other words, what it is saying is, this is how, here is how we can be sure. Have you ever asked yourself the question, am I really fellowshipping with God the Father and Jesus Christ? Well, these verses are telling us how we can know. And I know some of you may say, I know what fellowship is, and so you can tune out. Well, go ahead, but I think you'll miss something, so I'd recommend you don't. So let's continue on here. What John is doing here, he is teaching us three important key points on how we can be sure. John's first key point is, by this we know that we know him. It's that phrase. It's by that phrase we can know. This is the how we can be sure that we have fellowship with Jesus Christ. So what does it mean to know Jesus? In the context here, what is this talking about? What does it mean? John quite often uses the word know, which in the Greek word is G-I-N-O-S-K-O. It's not really important because we're not Greek scholars, but anyway. And that word indicates a knowing that comes by experience. A knowing that comes by experience. By sharing experiences and life together. So how do we, this is how we know that we know him. From the Greek word know itself is the first key point, and that is, it is by us having knowledge that comes from experiences, which is by sharing experiences in life together. We're sharing our life's experiences together with each other. We also are to be sharing our life experiences with Jesus Christ. I mean, this is the indication. This is what it is saying. Like I've told you many times, I'll tell you again, probably tell you several more times again, God willing, and that is, in both the Hebrew and in the Greek, they have what we would refer to, what I refer to as having a sense of the word, a sense of. It may not be the legal definition of a word, but it has a sense of. And in this case, the sense of this is it implies or it infers that fellowship or sharing has taken place. So the very first key point is, by this we know that we know him. We've had experiences and we can know this. We know that we have had experiences with one another. That's called fellowship. We know that we have experiences with Jesus Christ. That's called fellowship from the Greek word itself. Okay, so the second one, I told you there are three important key points on how we can be sure. The second one is to know we have fellowship as if we keep his commandments. This word commandment, when it's referring to Jesus Christ, it is not necessarily referring to the Ten Commandments. It's talking about his words, what he said, or what he has taught, what he is teaching us through the pages of the Bible. So it is through keeping his words. So what we see is fellowship with Jesus is dependent upon our keeping, obeying his teachings. We see that from the verses. I'm not going back restating these verses again, but he goes through all of 1 John chapter 2. It says fathers do this and people do this, and he's telling us how to live life and not to go off track, but follow what Jesus Christ is teaching us. That's what he's saying. That's another way that we can know that we can be sure of how we can be sure that we are fellowshipping with Jesus Christ. It's by keeping his words. It is dependent upon keeping his teachings. Let's go to John chapter 14. John 14, verse 21, we begin. He that has my commandments and keeps them. A better phrase for that, I mean, this phrase is not bad, but a better phrase for us to understand would be, he that not only knows them, but obeys them. Because, see, we could know the teachings of Jesus Christ, and it doesn't mean anything unless we obey them, unless we're living by them. So let's read this again, verse 21. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I love him and will manifest myself to him. Because we're keeping his teachings. We're doing what he says. Judas says unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world? Then Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. John chapter 15, verse 10. John 15 and verse 10. If you keep my commandments, if you keep my words, my teachings, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now here's an important point for us to see and for us to understand. The person who claims to know, or the person who claims to have fellowship with Jesus Christ and does not keep his commandments, does not keep the words of Jesus, does not obey his teachings, is real plain, it says, is a liar and the truth is not in him. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4. We read this. He that says, I know him and keep not his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. This is just like the one who claims to have fellowship with the Father while walking in darkness. We saw that is back in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and that him is the Father, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So what John is showing us here in 1 John is we can have fellowship with the God the Father if we're doing certain things. And we can have fellowship with Jesus Christ if we're doing certain things. And that's all that it is. And I mean, I'm not trying to say that that's negating it. I'm just trying to make it very, very simple. What we need to understand is, nevertheless, the person who keeps the words of Jesus, the love of God is perfected in him. That's verse 5, 1 John 2, verse 5. So we're reading some verses over to make the point here. 1 John 2, verse 5. But whoso keeps his words, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. So we ask, I think, of an important question here. What is this love of God that is perfected? What is it speaking about? Well, I'm going to present you with three different questions or three different options. The first one is it God's kind of love? Is it God's kind of love? 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso has this world's good and sees his brother have need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwell the love of God in him? Now I can go on and on about this particular point. We see a person who has this need, and we come to the conclusion, well, he's going to just take it, or she's going to just take it and go and drink, or going to do this with it, so we don't do it. Is this what it says? That's shutting up our bowels of compassion and mercy upon another individual, if we can help. But we judge. Remember I recently gave a sermon on judging? What do we judge? To either do it God's way or to do it our own way. We help the person in need. Or we don't. We shut up our bowels of mercy. And we see something very, very important. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life. Therefore, but whoso has the world's goods, you have the wherewithal, whatever it is. It could be time, money, whatever it may be. And see his brother have need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how does the love of God dwell in him? Or, second question, how is the love of God perfected? The second question is this referring to God's love for us? Remember, the first one was, is it God's kind of love? The second question is it God's love for us? Okay, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 9. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Or is it the third one? Because I said there's three of them I'm going to show you. The third one is it our love for God? 1 John 5, verse 2. 1 John 5, verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. They're not heavy. They're not burdensome. They're not that hard. So which one of these shows how the love of God is perfected in those who are doing these things? Well, I believe in the context it is talking about our love for God. And the reason is because the context is concerned with keeping the commandments of Jesus, the words, the teachings of Jesus Christ. Such love for God is perfected, or it is made whole, or it is made complete, only when we keep the commandments of the Son of God. So am I saying, if we're not obeying the teachings and the words of Jesus Christ, is the love of God not in us? Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. And he's already seen in here some clear examples of how some things that we may or may not be doing them. But we need to think about them. John 14. This is not 1 John, but John 14. Verse 15, John 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's real clear. Verse 21, he that has my commandment and keeps them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest, make known myself to him. Verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Therefore, I think that we can see that we can be sure that we know Jesus, that we are in fellowship with him, and that we have perfected our love for God only if we are keeping the teachings, the commands, the words of Jesus Christ. In other words, we've got to be living by what he said. Now, first thing we've got to know is, what are the words? Which means we've got to find out. We've got to know what the words of Jesus Christ are. I'm not dealing with that today. I'm just saying, whatever they are, we've got to know them, because we've got to be living by them. That's the only way that we're going to be abiding in his love. That's the only way we're going to be in fellowship with Jesus Christ. It's the only way that we're going to have the love of God perfected in our lives, is by obeying the commands of Jesus Christ. To stress this point even further, John continues by pointing out that it is by this that we are in him. So let's go back to 1 John chapter 2 again. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 5, the second part of the verse, it says, hereby know we that we are in him. And verse 6, he that says he abides in him also ought himself so to walk, even as he walked. And so we see this, and I think that we need to ask another question at this point. How can we be sure that we are abiding in Jesus Christ? Because it's what it says. We need to be abiding in him. How can we do that? How do we know that what it is being talked about? The word in verse 5, hereby know we that we are in him, is parallel to the expression abides in verse 6. He that says he abides in him. Okay, so we know they're parallel words, but still, what is it talking about? Well, the answer is Jesus Christ describes it himself. Jesus himself describes it. abiding in Jesus as being similar to a branch abiding in the vine. So let's go to John 15. John 15 and verse 4. John 15 and verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. So we see this is what he's talking about. John is just, in 1 John, he's referencing back to what Jesus had taught. So now in verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. It's pretty clear. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. In other words, there is a union, there is an attachment, there is a joining. Now, that's an important word for us to understand, because that's what the word Levi means. That's what the priests do. They join us to God. And this is what Jesus is telling us. He that abides in me, he that is in union with me, he that is attached to me, he that has been joined unto me. There is this union between the branch and the vine. And from this union comes a sharing. And that could be fellowship. So who would have ever thunk it back over there in John, what he's talking about, these things, the branches and we're the vine and we're the branches. Did he actually be referring to fellowshipping? Being joined to Jesus Christ in that way. That's what fellowshipping is. It brings forth fruit. And we can't bring forth fruit unless we are joined, unless we are attached, unless we are in union with Jesus Christ. A third key point or way that we can be sure that we are fellowshipping with the Son is if we walk as He walked. The person who claims to abide in Jesus or claims to have fellowship with Jesus should walk or live just as Jesus walked or lived. And so you have to look at the person's life. Is he walking like Jesus walked? You know, and it's yes or no. It's yes or no. The reason this is important is because this is only because those who follow his words are truly his disciples. Only those who are walking as the way Jesus walked are his disciples. John 8, John 8, verse 31, John 8, 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my words. What does it mean to continue in my words? Just believe them? Or walking in them, living in them? Yeah, he's talking about if you continue to live, if you continue to walk in my words, then are you my disciples indeed. So we see Jesus telling the Jews that believed on him, you have to continue walking in the way, going in the way that I'm teaching you to go. It's real plain. This is what it is. It is only those who follow his words are truly his disciples. And also, those who are his disciples will become like their teacher. Luke 6 and verse 40. Luke 6, verse 40. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as or like his master. So, it's pretty plain. The third point is that we can be sure that we have fellowship with the Son of God is if we walk as he walks. So we're to be walking in his words, walking the way that he walked, and we're to be becoming like the master. We're to be becoming more and more like him. So we learn from John that the key to knowing that we have fellowship with Jesus is understanding the difference between talking and walking. Are we talking or are we walking? There is a difference. Do we need to be doing both? Yes, we need to do both. But there is a difference, and that's what Jesus is referring to, and that's what John is pointing out. Anyone who says that they know Jesus, that they abide in him, anyone can say that. And many people do say that. However, those who really know him and abide in him are those who, number one, keep his commandments, and number two, those who walk just as he walked. So I ask a question. Why fellowship? Is it important? John tells us back in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3, we read that, the B part of the verse, that truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Why is this important? Why is this important for us to know? Can't we just live a godly way of life and not even have an understanding what fellowship is talking about and how it ties into our lives on an individual basis or as a congregational basis? Well, let's see. Let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke or to stimulate, to spur on, to stir up, to encourage. All of those are different phrases or words that are used in different translations for this one word that we have in the King James. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So it says, we ought to be doing that. We ought to be motivating one another. We ought to be stimulating one another, stirring up, encouraging, promoting, provoking one another. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's where the fellowship comes in. Not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting, stimulating, provoking, encouraging one another, so much more the so as we see the day approaching. So what are we learning? So what do we see? What do we see from this non-important looking word called fellowship? Well, I think we see something very, very important, because I think what we should see here is as we draw closer to the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we need to be encouraging and we need to be in strengthening one another. We need to think on the fact that our fellowship is with God the Father and is with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we keep his commandments and as we walk as Jesus walked. Are we? Or do we get so easily distracted, even on the Sabbath, that our conversations go someplace else, that we're really not focusing on God? Wouldn't it be rather better that our focus and our talk would be about God and about what God is doing in our lives? We come together, we fellowship, and we're fellowshipping with God the Father and Jesus Christ as we are keeping the commandments, the words of Jesus Christ, how he lived, walking the way he walked. I think it would include, even on the Sabbath day, I think it would even include about how we speak and talk often to one another even on the Sabbath. What we need to realize and what we need to understand is that fellowship is prophetic. Fellowship is prophetic of the Sabbath. It's gathering together with one another in the presence of God. What would Jesus Christ do on the Sabbath? How would he keep the Sabbath? Fellowship is prophetic of the kingdom of God. The time whenever the completion is there, when we all are living in the presence of God the Father and Jesus Christ after this new heaven and a new earth, and it's all come down. Do we think we're going to talk about anything and everything, or we think we're going to focus on God? I think we know the answer, but as we are looking at ourselves, we're examining ourselves at this time of the year, I think we need to consider all of these things. Fellowship is prophetic of a time of no evil. Fellowship is prophetic of true believers keeping their focus on the Father and Jesus Christ, not on their own focus, not doing their own agenda. Fellowship. The Aaronic blessing. Speaking to Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless you all. Happy Sabbath. Happy fellowship.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.